This is America on the Road, winner of the International Automotive Media Conference Gold Medal Award for Radio, and now in its 24th year on the air. Thanks for being with us as we bring you the latest automotive information from around the world. America on the Road is brought to you by DrivingToday.com and the Coalition for Vehicle Choice. Hi, I'm Jack Nerad. With me is guest co-host Charlie Baker. Chris Teague, our normal co-host, as normal as he can be, is under the weather. We wish him well. We hope he has a speedy recovery, and we'll look to have him on a show real soon. Charlie Baker is, among other things, the contributing editor of Driving Today. He is reporting for us from the Atlantic coast of Florida. And thanks for being with us, Charlie. We appreciate you being with us.
Thanks, Jack. Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Charlie has just driven, it was a while ago now, but drove coast to coast with his family, and we're going to talk about the vehicle in which he did that. So that'll be interesting later in the show. Our special guest is John Ikeda. He is a Honda vice president and the Acura brand officer. That means he's Mr. Acura. He'll give us the exciting details about the goals and strategies of the Acura brand. It's had its ups and downs, and I think it's now on an upswing again. So he's going to tell us about that, and he's going to tell us all about the all-new 2021 Acura TLX sports sedan. A pretty cool car. I had a chance to drive at a recent event. Events are back on these days, so that was kind of cool. And in the car review segment, we'll be talking about the 2021 Buick Encore GX. Don't confuse that with the Buick Encore, although I imagine some people will be confused. And Charlie, you were driving the GMC Terrain, weren't you? At length.
That's right. We drove my wife's GMC Terrain all the way from Los Angeles down to the central part of the Atlantic coast of Florida. And we would have taken my Nissan Leaf, but of course, that would have taken us much longer.
Yes, much, much longer, or unless you had a really long extension cord.
that's right.
Yeah. Before we do any of that, though, the car reviews and all that, let's talk a little bit about auto news. What automotive news bit do you have for us, Charlie?
Well, I am a fan of the small SUV. I get to drive them from time to time, whether they're mine or somebody else's. And I was interested to see the news about Volkswagen coming out with the Taos. And so I'm excited about that. The of course, the disappointing part is it's not going to be out until the 2022 model, so we're going to have to wait a little bit. But I'm always interested to hear and read about what Volkswagen is doing. They've got some interesting stuff going on with EVs, and this Taos thing sounds pretty interesting.
Yeah, I really look forward to it. You know, Volkswagen was one of those manufacturers that kind of dragged its heels a little bit, didn't really want to climb on the crossover SUV bandwagon. But now that they have, with the new Tiguan that they have, you know, I say new, it's been out in the market 3 years or so now, and the Atlas that I think we at America on the Road like a lot. So I think we're kind of eagerly anticipating the Taos. I think that's going to be another, little arrow in the quiver of Volkswagen. And I think they're really, hitting their stride with crossovers. And of course, they better, any manufacturer better, because that's where the market's going.
Yeah, I agree. I've seen a few Atlases on the road, both on our way down here and just driving around town in Florida. They're I think, very handsome looking cars, and I'm looking forward to the Taos.
Yeah. Well, we all are, and we look forward to driving that. Here's a bit of news. This comes from TrueCar, our friends at TrueCar. They continue to survey their visitors. And in this part of their research series, they have found that buyers are somewhat less apprehensive about COVID-19 than they have been up till now. So that is good. They're still pretty apprehensive, to tell you the truth. 50% state that they're still very concerned, either very or extremely concerned about being exposed to COVID-19. So that's a pretty high number. It's half the country. It's massive.
Yeah, I mean, some people are beginning to suffer from virus fatigue, and I was actually in a car dealership this morning having the oil changed on the GMC Terrain, and to get ready for our trip back to California, and there were some people in there with masks and some people without. So You know, people certainly weren't afraid to go inside the dealership. I was not. And so we'll just have to see.
Yeah. Well, it's down significantly. The fearfulness index, I guess you could call it, is down from 62% in April. So it's down considerably. But still, that's 50% of car buyers are still afraid of it. And, you know, one has to wonder, depending upon your news sources, you're either, you know, terrified or you're not so afraid at all. It's strange that it should be that way. I guess the facts are actually hard to come by. And then how you react to the facts is something else again, too.
Right. I think that's interesting that you point that out. I read somewhere last week that Q3 car sales made a nice rebound. And I think that's partially because there are online options for buying a car. And I think it's also because people are getting over their virus fears and figuring out a way to go out into dealerships and to make deals.
Right. I mean, that's epitomized by this other finding of the survey from TrueCar, that in April, 36% of people said that the pandemic made them less likely to purchase a vehicle. And now among car shoppers, it's only 20%. So that's a big fall off. So that's encouraging news. Less encouraging news comes from Ford, or from people associated with Ford. Ford has delayed the production of its new plug-in Escape hybrid until 2021. This because some of the same battery cells that would be used in that plug-in hybrid were recently recalled in Europe because several caught fire. So lithium-ion batteries can catch fire. They do heat up. So this is something where they also vent hot gas, which increases the risk of overheating and fire. Now, that's not something you really want in your vehicle.
No. And it reminds me of the story that was making the rounds a few years ago when Tesla struggled with that. I think they've figured out whatever that problem was. But yeah, anytime you're in an EV and you've got lithium-ion batteries propelling you down the road, that's in the back of your head. So that's troubling to hear.
Right. Apparently, 20,500 vehicles have been recalled. There were 7 cases of fire linked to the issue. Happily, no injuries or deaths. So we're just going to have to wait maybe another year for that Escape plug-in hybrid. We eagerly anticipate it, and I bet you none of them will catch fire.
I bet you're right.
Just a guess. Yeah. Here's an interesting story, I thought. Let's see what you think, Charlie. GM, General Motors, has asked a U.S. appeals court to reinstate a suit against FCA. The suit, they allege, is racketeering. They say that Fiat Chrysler's former CEO, the late Sergio Marchionne, was orchestrating a bribery conspiracy to corrupt rounds of bargaining with the United Auto Workers Union. That was a bid, they claim, to harm and take over General Motors. And General Motors says it lost $1 billion from this whole proceedings. FCA says this whole thing is ridiculous, meritless, is what they said. And they're again seeking a dismissal of the case. But GM keeps going to the well on this thing.
Yeah, I haven't heard about that. I did hear, read about FCA maybe moving some money around from quarter to quarter to influence their earnings, but I haven't heard about this this lawsuit. Seems to me that if it's in the past, they should leave it there, but what do I know?
Yeah. Well, General Motors is certainly upset with FCA, so we'll see what comes of it. And likely, well, I don't know. It's hard to predict, isn't it? It's hard to predict lawsuits.
Well, yes, predicting things these days is tough to do, so I'm with you.
Yeah.
I look forward to keeping tabs on that one, but I'm not going to speculate one way or the other.
Right. Well, one of the defendants is no longer with us, so he can't be called to testify.
His testimony will be tough to get.
Yeah, that would be a long-distance call. Well, so that's it with the news. When we come back, we will be talking about two vehicles that we're testing. One is the long-distance test you did in the GMC Terrain, and I'll be talking about the all-new 2021 Buick Encore GX, a small SUV. So stay with us, everybody. We'll be right back right here on America on the Road. Welcome back, everybody, to America on the Road with guest host Charlie Baker. This is Jack Nerad back with you. We're so glad you're with us. We really do appreciate you being with us. This is road test time, and we don't have just a road test for you. We have a road test. I mean, a cross-country road test. You know, I drove 2,500 miles or something like that in the Toyota Highlander Hybrid, and we talked about it just last week. But, Charlie, you outdid me. I mean, you drove coast-to-coast in the GMC Terrain with your family. Tell us a bit about the vehicle and the drive.
Yeah, that's right, Jack. We did it. We did it all in 3 days, and I lived to tell the story. This was not a scenic drive for us. We were leaving Los Angeles to get our kids set up in here in Florida to spend their semester of school online. So we left Los Angeles in the Terrain, and we made it to El Paso, Texas, and then the next day to New Orleans, and then down here to Florida. So it was a long trip, maybe 2,700 miles, and we survived. But the car handled really well. A GMC Terrain is really comfortable on the inside. It's got surprisingly ample storage in the rear, behind the rear two seats, the second seat. It's a small SUV, so it does pretty well on gas. And you know, as far as road trips go, it was great. All of the infotainment stuff worked great. Everybody could make all the phone calls they wanted to and listen to the music they wanted to. The interior, I would say, is quite stylish and comfortable. I think they went out of their way to make it a comfortable ride. The seats are quite nice, and they've got all sorts of settings for guys like me who sometimes have their legs get sore on long car rides. But we really liked it. I thought it was a great trip. We made it, and you know.
Well, and there were four of you, right? I mean, it was you, your wife, and your two children.
That's right. That's right. So my commentary on the modern road trip is one contrasting, you know, this trip to a trip that I took with my family when I was a kid. We used to play games where everybody interacted with each other and, you know, pointed out landmarks and interesting looking cars along the way and trucks. But the way road trips go these days, your two kids sit in the back with their earphones on, and your wife sits in the passenger seat and talks on the phone or naps or flips through a magazine. And then it's just the driver, you know, alone with his own thoughts on the road. So it's interesting. That was one of the things that I noted, which was there's not a whole lot of interaction and talking in the car just because everybody's, you know, in their own world, which was okay with me.
Right. Were people using their own devices, and did you then listen to the audio system yourself, or what'd you do there?
Yeah, that's right. So the two kids in the back were listening to their own thing. We would, my wife and I would switch between, you know, her, you know, talking on the phone. She does a lot of work on the phone, so she would have the airwaves when she needed it to make a phone call, and then we'd listen to news or some music. Or, you know, just silence. I think silence is underrated. helps you daydream a little bit and focus on the road and figure out when you are going to need to get gas, which is something we had to do pretty frequently.
Yeah, well, and I think maybe that's one of the things of that vehicle, the GMC Terrain. Mostly a good vehicle, but maybe range on that kind of cross-country trip was a bit of an issue, huh?
It was, and you know, as you get through Texas and Louisiana and then into Florida, the price of gas comes down significantly. But yeah, this car just does not have a large fuel tank. I think, you know, it says 14 gallons, but I think it was closer to 12 or 13 for us. And I compared it to some of the other...
Well, you pretty wisely didn't get down to 0 gallons. I have a feeling it's 14 gallons, but you probably put 12 in it.
That's right, and since it's not my car, I didn't know how much give they have when the light goes on. So, yeah, it just doesn't have a big gas tank. It does pretty well fuel efficiency wise, but we had to stop a lot and fill up. So, the other thing I would, and this is just a little bit of a nit I noticed that the turning radius on this car is not that great. So if you want to park in a tight parking lot, or if you want to make a U-turn, legal or otherwise, it's just difficult to do. And I found myself having to do 3-point parking jobs and 3-point U-turns.
Just not quite as agile. Of course, your common car, the car you drive most often, is a Nissan Leaf. So you're used to something that's much
that's
more compact.
Right. That's more maneuverable, and so that was just an adjustment I had to make. But overall, it's a great car, and it's a great ride, and you know it served its purpose for us quite well. Got us from point A to point B in style and comfort and safety, and so for that, I was very pleased.
Yeah, well, kudos to them for that. I was driving a vehicle that in some ways is similar to the GMC Terrain. In fact, often they're sold in the same dealerships, and I'm talking about the Buick Encore GX, which is the newest version of the Encore. There is still the more common Encore, which is a slightly smaller vehicle, and then the GX, which actually is the kiss and cousin to the Chevrolet Trailblazer. It is that size. It is a small SUV, but not as small as the Encore. It has all the standard Buick features, just kind of in a smaller size. It's offered in all the Buick trims, the seating for five, available all-wheel drive. You can get a Sport Touring Edition. You can also get a black roof package if you're partial to that. One of the nice things about it is it has a flat folding passenger seat, front passenger seat. So let's say if you had a pole vaulting pole or a lot of fishing rods or you had a big lumber or something like that, you could not only drop the rear seat, but you could also drop the front passenger seat and put stuff up to 8 feet long in there. You'd have to kind of wedge it in a little bit diagonally, but it would work. And so
sounds good for napping.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
while driving, of course.
Yeah, definitely avoid that. It has a hands-free power programmable lift gate, and we like the infotainment system. GM does a pretty good job with infotainment, and it's interesting that Cadillac has now changed their infotainment to match up more closely with the other GM divisions because theirs, while expected to be better, was actually a lot worse. But, you know, I really like the infotainment and connectivity in the Encore GX. And then it has a bunch of comfort and convenience features and what they call the driver confidence package. It has lane keep assist, lane departure warning, automatic emergency braking, front pedestrian braking. If you see a pedestrian in front of you, you probably want to brake. I can tell you that.
I would think so.
Yeah. Forward collision alert, which is kind of closely related. And so, you know, a lot of good safety stuff. Decent power. Our vehicle, our test vehicle, was equipped with the more powerful of the two engines, which provided 155 horsepower from its 1.3-liter turbo inline three-cylinder engine. Yes, you heard that right, three-cylinder engine. It has a 9-speed automatic with all-wheel drive, so we like that. And it was plenty of power, and, you know, it was smooth. You wouldn't know it was a three-cylinder. The only way you'd know is with its good fuel economy. So all in all, this was a vehicle that I liked a lot. I think it's a very handsome vehicle. I think it's a much more substantial-looking vehicle than the Encore itself. See, we're so confused with this. But
I'm looking at a picture of the GX now, and it looks great.
Yeah.
I've read somewhere that they are equipping this car with the Amazon Alexa service, is that right?
Yeah, in fact, they're almost using that as the brand name for this thing, and I think it's a really wise marketing move from the folks at Buick and from their ad agency. I think a lot of people think Alexa is probably cooler than Buick these days, so calling this thing the Buick Alexa or just the Alexa is probably a very wise move, and you know, being able to use that kind of connectivity, that kind of consumer help, I think really is a game changer for folks.
Well, yes, it's easy to draw the line to safety, right? So
right.
Alexa is a voice-activated service, and the more hands you keep on the wheel, the better.
Right. And for 2021, it will have a wireless Apple CarPlay, which and wireless Android Auto, standard across all trims. So, I mean, this is a vehicle that at its most expensive is in the low 30s and can be had for about $25,000 to $27,000, pretty well equipped. So all in all, I think there's a lot of value in the 2021 Buick Encore GX.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Yeah. So two keepers this week, the GMC Terrain and the Buick Encore GX. When we come back, we will be taking your listener questions. I know you all wait at the edge of your seats for listener questions, and that's the segment that's coming up next. So with Charlie Baker, this is Jack Nerad back with you, and stay with us. We'll be right back right here on America on the Road. Welcome back, everybody, to America on the Road with guest host Charlie Baker. This is Jack Nerad back with you, and it is listener question time. It's a time when we get really excited about sharing what we've learned about the auto industry with you. That is one of our goals in life here at America on the Road. We really take that seriously, or as seriously as we take everything. We'd love to have your listener question. If you want to submit a listener question to us, send it to editor@drivingtoday.com. That's editor@drivingtoday.com. We'll take your listener question on an upcoming show. But I think, Charlie, if I'm not wrong, if I'm not mistaken, Charlie, you have a listener question for us right now, don't you?
I do, Jack. Thank you. And I sorted through a few emails, and the one that I think is most appropriate for us today goes as follows. Dear Jack, which non-luxury brands build the most reliable vehicles these days? Which is a good question.
I think it's a good question, and I don't think the answer is going to be obvious, or the answer I'm going to give would be obvious to most people. I think a lot of people would expect us to say Toyota and Honda, and those brands certainly do build reliable vehicles. But if you look at the J.D. Power ratings recently about reliability and about product quality, what you're going to find are some brands that you wouldn't expect at all. Brands like Dodge, for example, brands like Kia, Hyundai, and Chevrolet, Ram, too, for that matter. So there's a lot of brands out there that have reputations for quality that maybe are coasting a little on those reputations as opposed to what's really going on in the industry. I mean, what's your perception, Charlie, about which brands are most reliable?
Well, you know, I would agree that the first two brands that you mentioned have always shown up at the top of the reliability rankings, whether they're from J.D. Power or from Consumer Reports. But I don't think the others catching up is a result of anybody coasting, you know, forgive the pun. I think it's more likely explained by, you know, all these car brands are just building better cars. And if you go out and buy a new car, chances are it's going to be a reliable one. And chances are when you get around to the surveys that you fill out either online or with your dealer, you're going to give high marks. And so I'm not surprised to see there be it more crowded at the top. And I think that's a good thing for consumers. I think Toyota, of course, and Honda still make great cars. I just think the other guys are catching up.
Well, another brand, and I think it's a brand you're pretty close to because you drive one of them day to day, and I'm talking about Nissan. They've really climbed the charts too, and they're doing a really good job. And I don't know that the consumer perception out there is that they're the equal to Toyota and Honda, but surveys of their owners would suggest that they probably are.
Yeah, I've driven Nissans, and I've owned, this is my second Nissan Leaf that I've had, and the first one I've owned, and I've got nothing but good things to say. Nothing breaks on it. That could possibly be because there are no moving parts. It's a 100% electric EV. But I also think it's because Nissan makes great cars and makes quality cars at a good price, and people like that, and it's a reliable car.
Yeah. Well, I would hope the wheels move, and I would hope the steering wheels move and stuff like that. But other than that,
I've been back in California for 3 months. I'll give you a report when I get back.
Yeah, it's probably more of a boat anchor right now. I wonder
right.
how well charged it is.
So, right.
Well, that's our listener question for this week. Like I say, if you have a listener question, we'd love to hear it. editor@drivingtoday.com is the way to get it to us. And Charlie and I, or Chris Teague and I, will answer that question for you in an upcoming show. So shoot it at us. And when we come back, we will be doing our interview with John Ikeda. He is essentially the head, I guess, of the Acura brand, and talking about what's going on there, including their all-new TLX sports sedan. So stay with us for that interview with John Ikeda, and stay with us right here on America on the Road. Welcome back, everybody, to America on the Road. Jack Nerad back with you, and we are so pleased to have a great guest with us. His name is John Ikeda. He is the Vice President and Acura Brand Officer, and we're talking about the all-new Acura TLX. We're actually doing this remote. We're doing this on a car event. One of the first car events I've done in the last 6 months or so.
Yes.
John, thanks so much for doing this and for being with us.
Well, no, thank you for having us on. It's a crazy new normal for everybody at the moment. You know, with you, the media, the journalists, you know, launching cars in this new world right now is a little bit different and unique.
Right, a lot of protocols going on. And maybe we'll talk about that a little bit later as we talk about this. But let's talk about where Acura is. You have an interesting title. Tell us what your title means. Tell our listeners what that means, and then we can talk about the brand a bit.
Well, yeah, it's brand officer. Everything that's related to the look and feel and how we want to promote the brand, I guess, is what I'm in charge of at the moment. Been with the company since 1989. Fell in love with the brand, Acura, that caused me to join. And about 5 years ago, we refocused, you know, to get back on the roadmap as Precision Crafted Performance. And I've been a big advocate, and I guess I have the biggest mouth in the company, and that's why I ended up being the officer, I guess.
Well, I think you have an immense talent. I think that's why you're doing what you're doing. And if I'm not wrong, you have a design background. Is that correct?
Yes. I've been with the company, well, good Lord, about 31 years now, but 25 of that in design. So I started out in design, first 6 years in Japan, designing at a Honda design studio in Japan. And I came back here to Torrance, California. That's where our campus is and the design studio is. And after 25 years, they kind of punted me over the fence to the sales side of things. And here I am. Yeah.
Well, and it's kind of an interesting path, right? Because you don't see many design people getting to the head of a brand and getting in that kind of position where they have a kind of overall. And it kind of makes sense that somebody with an aesthetic sense, a grasp of how brands differ, would be a great one to have a big say in a brand, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's one thing for sure with us going back to Precision Crafted Performance is, you know, one of the first things I thought about, what did I feel? You know, what was the brand like? It was very youthful. And I remember, you know, meeting the people that designed the cars like the Legend and Integra when I worked in Japan, and very young, to tell you the truth. I mean, people that were running the program, you know, to me at the time, very old, in their 30s, you know. But now I'm looking right back on, wow, you know, they gave a lot of opportunities to a lot of young at heart people there. And that energy, the optimism that was there, they created the vehicles that we love so much and we talk about to this day. And so when we were reorienting again 5 years ago, the look and feel, the colors and things that we bring to the commercials, the music, all of the things that we're doing right now for the brand is trying to represent that energy I remember we felt about, you know, the brand back in the days.
Right. As the guy who lives and breathes the Acura brand, tell our listeners what that should mean to them, or, you know, what they should know about Acura brand versus the 40 other brands that they could consider out there.
Well, I would definitely say, you know, we are playing in the premium area, but we're number one, performance division of Honda. That's what we came out to be. So that's what we're all about. We're about performance. We love performance cars, and that's what we chase. So if you're looking for a unique or different look and feel in the performance area, in the premium segment, you know, please look us up, because we try to bring it a different way. Obviously, we're restating ourselves in that direction. So whether it's through racing, all of the things that we're doing, we're here to show that we belong here and we're playing the game of performance.
Well, it makes so much sense, absolutely, and capturing that youthful feel that this brand has always carried, really, and certainly in its glory days, I had that, right? Let's talk about the vehicle we're here to see, and I just drove, the Acura TLX. What are the high hard ones that our listeners should know about that vehicle?
Well, I think it's an interesting time to be making sedans in general. Obviously, the world has changed a little bit. If you're anywhere near the auto industry or in your neighborhood, I'm sure you see a lot of SUVs in your neighborhood come up. And I've had many discussions with other journalists. You know, the sedan market's dying. Why are you making a sedan? And you hear all of these things. But I'm a big sedan enthusiast. I love sedans. It's fun to drive. There's a lot of performance attributes that you could bring into a sedan. And as it shrinks, it's okay. It just means the people that are left are really, really focused people that they're real sedan enthusiasts. And I think what this TLX brings more than any other is that we've taken the gloves off. We're going to make something that's exciting for an enthusiast sedan person. And the team has done a fantastic job, not just with the styling, the packaging, having all the little details, if you will, you know, the double wishbone suspension, the new turbo engines, the whole thing, that would get everybody excited about owning a sedan again. So,
right. Yeah. Well, and just because sedans are becoming somewhat less popular, or the market share isn't as large as it used to be for sedans, doesn't mean sedans are going away. It just means that maybe they're a little less emphasis for some people.
Yes, absolutely. And I think the sedans could be a little bit more pure and what it wants to be, you know. And back in the day when sedans ruled the roost, if you were in a premium segment, you know, it was like 70% the other way, right? And
right.
So, you know, you would have to worry about the rear seating room and the headroom and all of these things, the rear leg room. Now, I think the people that cared about a lot of those things, because the SUV has been tuned the way they are, they're not just trucks anymore, they've kind of gone on.
Yeah, the mainstream is driving those, but the performance driver, I think, really wants a sedan.
Absolutely,
right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And as a performance brand, we really need to do what we need to do. And this team knew exactly what we were trying to strive for, and they've directed everything that we could to make sure that the enthusiasts are in with this TLX, and I think they've done a fantastic job delivering, and I hope you enjoyed driving it.
Yeah, I did, absolutely. It was a revelation, actually. I was amazed how good it handles, and I just enjoyed it a lot. Let's talk about context. You know, put this vehicle in context for our listeners. What are some of the competitors out there? What do you feel your benefits are? Competitive advantages are versus those vehicles.
Sure. You know, the first thing I think people are going to notice is that, you know, in the competitive set, it's always based off of the small, medium, and large size vehicles, right, in the sedan world. We've taken an assumption, once again, that people that want the bigger ones, they found some other place to go, and that we really want to focus on the enthusiast. And because of that, even though our competitive set for the TLX is, you know, your 3 Series, your A4s, or your C-Class, that this car is substantially bigger in footprint.
Right.
And there's a
longer, wider.
Meaning, you know, it's longer and wider. It's almost in the world of the segment above in the 5. The reason we do that, it's absolutely has more presence. It plays up the low and wide, which is what an enthusiast wants to see. If others want to do so, you know, they're going to end up butting up against what they have on the next level up. So most likely they're not going to go there. So it's kind of very unique in its packaging, if you will, in terms of footprint and how exciting the car looks. If you're coming in from the upper segment, because we're not restricted, once again, to having to have a certain legroom or headroom in the back or something, we have a very sleek, tight cabin to this. And so even though the overall size and footprint might be, you know, of a 5 Series, it's quite a bit sleeker looking. So, you know, any way you cut it, segment on top or low, there's something unique about this vehicle. I hope that everybody gets a chance to look at it, because once you look at it on the road, you'll see that it is a little different.
And the packaging is good. And one of the things you talked about in the presentation this morning was the width of the cabin and the width of the front seats. Talk a bit about that and why that's important.
Yeah, I mean, one of the ways to, you know, play up a premium feel, if you will. Obviously, we have the leather, we have the real wood and the metal and all of these things and the fit and finish that we've been known for at this company. So those are important things. But you talk about the width. I always translate that to, you know, being in first class seating to economy seating. So when you sit in economy, you're butting your shoulders a bit against the guy next to you. And that's what economy is. But when you go to first class, instantly the distance between you and the person sitting next to you, it really plays up a lot of good feeling or a premium feeling that space creates. And the TLX cabin, it really plays that up well. It's got a really wide center console that separates the two. And instantly when you sit in, you're starting to feel that, wow, the space, the conscious feeling about the space itself is that you're in a more of a premium vehicle.
Tell us more about the interior, infotainment system, those kinds of things.
Yeah, the infotainment, there's a lot of cool features. Obviously, we have the IDS modes, the different sports, you know, comfort and all that. We have that because it is a performance vehicle. And you know,
and there is differentiation. I mean, you challenged us to use that in the drive. I did that. And there is differentiation between the modes, which is important,
to.
Right?
Yeah, it's really important. It's interesting because even with, you know, the RDX that I drive, you know, I play with it. And you think you would just set it one way and you would leave it alone. But you come to a stoplight or something, and you know you got to go. All of a sudden, I find myself touching it and just playing with it. And it's a fun thing to have. And definitely for an enthusiast, you know, hey, you're going to go enjoy yourself on the roads like Malibu, you know, Canyon like you were doing. I'm sure that they would set it in a sports mode and enjoy themselves. Other things, you know, we have these custom setting for mood lighting that we have. Many, many different mood lights. Because of all the LED things and stuff, there's so many new things that I wish I had when I was designing.
When you were
cars,
designing,
you
know, right?
Yeah, things have come along quite a bit, and there's a lot of technical and fun things that you could do to match the mood that you want to create on a date if you want, or wherever you want, to, you know, play with the lights, to play with the moods. It's something interesting. It's another dimension that we didn't have in the past, and that this car definitely brings to the table.
Give us your take on the exterior design, just the stance of the vehicle, wheelbase, all of those things, you know, the cowl height, everything that goes into that.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, back when I worked on the old 4TL, it was like, yeah, could we just get a 235, 45, 17s? If I could just get 245s, you know, I'm at 235, 45, 17 inch, you know. Now we're up in the 255s and 19s, you know, 40 series tires. It's like, it's great that we're getting to that place where, you know, this is really serious footprint. The body plays up that 255 tire really well. Because of the tight cabin on this nice wide body, I can't wait for people to see this car like two lanes over on the freeway, you know? As you pull up on it, you're gonna see this thing, and people are gonna realize that one's a little different. That one's a little different than what I'm used to seeing, because it is. It just, if you talk about the proportions of the vehicle, I would say the closest thing in number, if I remember correctly, was the Panamera, Porsche, or the A7. Might be kind of a close relationship in terms of height to width. But those are kind of a unique type vehicle.
Yeah, those absolutely grab your attention, and those are super premium vehicles, luxury vehicles.
And that's the kind of oddball, if you want, or I call unique, that we put the TLX in there, and people could see it. It's absolutely, once you see it, you know, when you look at it pictures online, everybody could take, you know, the right angles and stuff to make it feel that way. But in real life, I mean, you had a chance to see it. If you line it up with the other cards, you can see that it's definitely got different presence to it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And by design, you absolutely want that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we keep saying absolutely, but yeah. I mean, we want us to be identified as a unique brand and what we're doing. We don't want to play the games like everybody else. You know, we're a performance brand. We want to bring that performance game. We're young at heart, optimistic. If you go to an auto show, for instance, you know, it's like if you come to our booth, it's very bright, it's lit. We're not the traditional mood, darker, you know, that's not who we were, and that's not who we are at all. And so a little bit more transparent, you know, come on in. We're not an exclusive type, a premium brand. We're more inclusive, if you will. Mm-hmm. And some people might have a problem with that, but just as who we are, you know, as a company. And so we're just being true to who we are.
Right, right. Let's talk about powertrain. Big changes under the hood. Big changes throughout TLX, but certainly under the hood. Talk a bit about that.
Well, you know, with this vehicle, the turbo four-cylinder, you're getting 270-plus horsepowers out of this thing. It's definitely got go. And if you put that horsepower against the other competitive set, you'll see that we're leading there. Even with the segment above, you know, if you look at the base models of the segment above, we're beating there also. So once again, it's kind of its own thing. We're kind of trying to say, hey, this is what you want, isn't it? You know,
right.
And we're playing there.
Well, and I would say beyond horsepower, that flat torque curve, you know, the amount of torque you can provide using that turbocharging across the rev band, that's a game changer.
Yeah, and there's different ways. The teams tuned it the way they wanted to do it. You know, there's multiple ways you could do turbos. You could have a little lag, punch it, push it back. That's not how our guys dealt with it. It's very linear in the way they wanted it to feel, even though it's a turbo engine. So it's got great torque. It's a lot of fun to drive. Yeah.
Right, right. And tell us about transmission, too.
10, you know, in-house design, 10-speed transmission. Can't say enough about it. It's very smooth. It's very direct and connected in what we need to do with a performance car. It's good. It's just the whole package. I really feel the team has done a fantastic job from design, the footprint, the chassis, everything. It's just all put together to make a really fantastic.
Because when I look at every area, there's an upgrade, right? When you talk about suspension, you've upgraded the suspension. McPherson struts out, multi-link in,
yes.
those kind of things.
Yeah, it's things that matter to a performance person, you know? And if we're going to say that we're a performance brand, we have to deliver on some of those things. We can't just say things and put stickers on it and yeah, it's got the big horsepower or whatever.
Yeah,
we have to throw a spoiler
on the back and say, oh, this is a sports car.
Yeah, this is it, right? We got the cast aluminum, you know, the shock tower, you know, mounts, everything. You got to give it to, you know, the team. They went all out. They went all out with this one. And it is what we're trying to do with the next generation of vehicles we're bringing. So the RDX was the first installment. TLX is next. Obviously, the Type S is coming. MDX is right around the corner, too. And so one right after the other, you know, we're bringing the new look Acura right back in.
Right. I want to talk about super handling all-wheel drive before I let you go. So give our listeners the rationale for that and why that's important.
Well, you know, people have hit us a lot of times because we're Acura. You know, why aren't you doing FR? You know, why isn't, you know, is the performance? All-wheel drive, I think, is something that is very, very viable. Our torque vectoring system, you know, the SHAWD, we've had it for a while now. And we've tripled down, quadrupled down on it. And every iteration of it just been better and better. It's not something you have to pay an enormous upgrade price for. Our all-wheel drive system is SH. And this vehicle, the torque vectoring, it really helps you carve and keep you out of trouble, if you will. So I don't know if you were noticing that. You come
it almost makes you feel invincible, which you have to resist as a driver.
Yes,
you're not.
You're coming in a little bit too hot,
and
then the corner gets a little too tight, and you turn it in, and it just carves right back in there. So if you're a skier, you kind of might know what we're talking about a little bit. But, yeah, it helps really carve through corners by controlling all the different angles, if you will, with those all-wheel drive system. And it's really fun to drive. It really is.
So when will our listeners be able to drive the new 2021 TLX?
The 28th of this month is when it goes on sale, all right? And if all you Type S fans, you know, next spring it's coming, so hang on.
Yeah, well, I'm waiting with bated breath for that because, you know, I certainly enjoyed what I drove, and I drove a lower line model. It was just absolutely terrific. So anything else you'd like to add that people should know about Acura or about the TLX?
Well, no, I mean, you know, it's we're back to our roots. We're bringing all the new products in. The lineup is getting completely revamped. Marketing, racing, everything that you ever remembered that was good about Acura is coming right back in. So if you have some warm and fuzzy feeling about Acura in the past, please come and check us out now because we're right there again.
Yeah, it's great to see this this great brand revived and brought back into where it deserves. John Ikeda, thanks so much for being with us. We really do appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, Vice President and Acura Brand Officer. Thanks so much. And stay with us, everybody. We'll be right back right here on America on the Road. And that was our interview with John Ikeda of Acura. Really fascinating stuff they have going on. And it's interesting that he, as a design guy, is running a car brand. Really interesting, interesting person and kind of a Renaissance guy. So we're pleased to have talked with him. And Charlie, I really have to thank you for co-hosting with us, sharing your story of your family's cross-country trip in the GMC Terrain. Thanks so much for being with us. We appreciate it.
Sure. Anytime, Jack. Thanks for having me. And anytime you need me, just give me a holler.
Absolutely. And pretty soon you will be wending your way back to Southern California, so maybe we can do this in person sometime.
That's right. On my next guest host appearance, I'll tell you about my trip back.
There you go. So, and I would also like to remind our listeners that if you like the show, if you just like what we do, you'll probably like my book, The GR Factor, Unleashing the Undeniable Power of the Golden Rule. So check that out. It's on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, pretty much wherever you want to buy books online, of course, Apple Books as well. So please check out The GR Factor, Unleashing the Undeniable Power of the Golden Rule. And thanks so much for being with us on America on the Road. For Charlie Baker, this is Jack Nierad saying, please join us again next time right here for America on the Road.